The title to today's devotion is My Beloved is Mine and I Am His, a verse taken from the Song of Songs, or otherwise called the Song of Solomon. Recently, Chris and I were invited to a Valentine's meal with the local Disabled Christian Fellowship. At the end of the meal, I was asked to give a short talk which would fit in with this special occasion. My immediate thoughts were, what am I going to talk about, which would have a romantic theme? One book in the Bible written by Solomon is a book of romantic poetry, graphically portraying the writer's heart and desires. The book is called The Song of Solomon, or Song of Songs. I am reminded that what transpired very shortly before Chris and I had been introduced to one another by a mutual friend before our first date. Chris was part of a ladies' prayer group. Chris was a widow and had lived on her own for 10 years, bringing up two sons. During one of the prayer meetings, one of the ladies felt God speak to her a special word for Chris. The reading was from the Song of Solomon 2:11-13. See, the winter is past, the rains are over and gone. Flowers appear on the earth. The season of singing has come. The queen of doves is heard in our land. The fig tree forms its early fruit. The blossoming vines spread their fragrance. Arise, come, my darling, my beautiful one, come with me. This was indeed was a word from the Lord. For Chris, the time spent as a widow would soon be over. God has since blessed us with nearly 30 years of marriage, and in that time we have been so blessed in seeing the hand of God lead us into various ministries, bringing glory to Him. In the Bible, there are a number of romantic stories of godly men and women being brought together. A number of these marriages have led them to experiencing extraordinary blessing for them and for generations to come. I am reminded of Abraham's son Isaac and the wonderful way Isaac met up with his new bride. Isaac's father Abraham, who at the time was living in Canaan, wanted Isaac to marry one of the women who belonged to their own people. So Abram sent his servant back to the land to seek out a bride for Isaac. Abram's servant was a very godly man and sought God's guidance in helping him to secure the right young lady for Isaac. We read the story in Genesis 24:1-33. Abram was now very old, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. He said to the senior servant in his household, the one in charge of all that he had, put your hand under my thigh. I want you to swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of our earth, that you will not get a wife for my son from the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I am living, but will go to my country and my own relatives and get a wife for my son Isaac. The first servant asked, what if the woman is unwilling to come back with me to the land? Shall I then take your son back to the country you came from? Make sure that you do not take my son back there, Abram said. The Lord, the God of heaven, who brought me out of my father's household and my native land, and who spoke to me and promised me an oath, saying, to your offspring I will give this land. He will send his angel before you, that you can get a wife for my son from there. If the woman is unwilling to come back with you, then you will be released from the oath of mine. Only do not take my son back there. So the servant put his hand under the thigh of his master Abraham and swore on oath to him concerning this matter. Then the servant left, taking with his son of his master's camels, loaded with all kinds of good things from his master. He set out from Aram Naharaim and made his way to the town of Nahor. He had the camels kneel down near the well outside the town. It was towards evening, the time the women go out to draw water. Then he prayed, "Lord God of my master Abraham, make me successful today, and show kindness to my master Abraham. See, I am standing beside this spring, and the daughters of the townspeople are coming out to draw water. May it be that when I say to a young woman, 'Please let down your jar that I may have a drink,' and she says, 'Drink, and I'll water your camels too,' let her be the one you have chosen for your servant Isaac. By this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master." Before he had finished praying, Rebekah came out with her jar on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, son of Milcah, who was the wife of Abraham's brother Nahor. The woman was very beautiful, virgin, no man had slept with her. She went down to the spring, filled her jar, and came up again. The servant hurried to meet her and said, "Please, give me a little water for your jar." "Drink, my lord," she said, and quickly lowered the jar to her hands and gave him to drink. After she'd given him a drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels too until they have had enough to drink." So she quickly emptied her jar into the trough, ran back to the well to draw more water, and drew enough for all the camels. Without saying a word, the man watched her closely to learn whether or not the Lord had made his journey successful. When the camels had finished drinking, the man took out a gold nose ring weighing a beaker and two gold bracelets weighing 10 shekels, and he asked, "Whose daughter are you? Please tell me, is there room in your father's house for us to spend the night?" She answered him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son that Milcah bore to Nahor." And she added, "We have plenty of straw and fodder, as well as room for you to spend the night." Then the man bowed down and worshipped the Lord, saying, "Praise be to the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, who has not abandoned his kindness and faithfulness to my master. As for me, the Lord has led me on the journey to the house of my master's relatives." The young woman ran to tell her mother's household about these things. Now Rebekah had a brother named Laban, and he hurried out to the man at the spring. As soon as he had seen the nose ring and the bracelets on his sister's arm, and had heard Rebekah tell what the man said to her, he went out to the man and found him standing by the camels near the spring. "Come, you are blessed by the Lord," he said. "Why are you standing out here? I have prepared the house and the place for the camels." So the man went to the house, and the camels were unloaded. Straw and fodder were brought for the camels, and water for him and his men to wash their feet. Then food was set before him. But he said, "I will not eat until I have told you what I have to say." When Abram's servant went into the house, Laban asked the servant to relay how Rebekah came to meet Abram's servant. On hearing how it all happened, Rebekah's father, Laban, and his wife Bethuel were overjoyed and said to the servants in Genesis 24:50-54, "This is from the Lord. We can say nothing to you one way or the other. Here is Rebekah. Take her and go, and let her become the wife of your master's son, as the Lord has directed." When Abram's servant heard what they said, he bowed down to the ground before the Lord. Then the servant brought out gold and silver jewelry and articles of clothing and gave them to Rebekah. He also gave costly gifts to her brother, and to her mother. Then he and the men who were with him ate and drank, and spent the night there. When they got up the next morning, he said, "Send me on my way to my master." I find this story very heartwarming and inspiring. It shows us how important it is to seek God's help and guidance when seeking a partner to marry. To begin with, Abram asked his servant to go back to his own people to seek a bride. As a Christian, we are encouraged to seek out a partner who loves the Lord, one who we can share the good things of God with. The writer said in Ecclesiastes 4:12, "A cord of three strands is not quickly broken." With God in the center of our marriage, we will do great exploits for God. The servant in the story of Isaac and Rebekah is a type of the Holy Spirit. When we're walking in close communion with God and seeking His help and guidance, we will know the Holy Spirit's leading and guiding. We can expect many surprises and blessings when allowing and listening to the Holy Spirit. I would like to look at another story in the Bible which is full of romance. We read in the book of Ruth, where a young family, Elimelech and Naomi, together with their two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, decided to leave Canaan and live in an alien land, the land of Moab, because of a serious drought in their land. While living in Moab, when the sons grew up, they married two daughters of the Moab people, Orpah and Ruth. Let us pause a moment and remind ourselves, God instructed the Israelites through Moses they should not marry anyone from another nation because they would encourage them to engage in worshipping the same gods as they. In the fullness of time, both Naomi's husband and their two sons died living Naomi with her two daughter-in-laws. Naomi was grief-stricken and decided to return to Canaan, inviting her two daughter-in-laws to come with her. Initially, both daughters agreed, but Orpah changed her mind and decided to stay and not go, leaving Naomi and Ruth to go on their own. There was a moment when Naomi understandably tried to persuade Ruth also to stay and not return with her. But we read in Ruth 1:15 to 18, "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her God. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go, and where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. Ruth had seen in Naomi a godlike character, something she wanted to emulate, giving her the deep desire to stay close to Naomi. When Naomi and Ruth arrived in Bethlehem, Naomi's town, she was very low in spirit. She wanted to be called Mara, not Naomi. Naomi means pleasant, but Mara means bitter. She was so overwhelmed by what had happened to her back in Moab. As it was harvest time, Naomi suggested Ruth go out and work in the fields, belonging to a relative, Boaz. Remember, Ruth was not an Israelite. Yet, Boaz was attracted to Ruth and asked her to marry him, overriding the law that did not permit Israelites to marry folk of other nations. Ruth did ask him why he found favor with her. We read in Ruth 2:10 to 13. She asked him, "Why have I found such favor in your eyes that you notice me, a foreigner?" Boaz replied, "I've been told all about what you have done for your mother-in-law since the death of your husband, how you left your father and mother and your homeland and came to live with a people you did not know before. May the Lord repay you for what you have done. May you be richly rewarded by the Lord, the God of Israel, under whose wings you have come to take refuge. May I continue to find favor in your eyes, my Lord," she said. "You have put me at ease by speaking kindly to your servant, though I do not have the standing of one of your servants." In the fullness of time, Soon after Boaz and Ruth got married, they had a son and were so happy to show the child to Naomi. We read in the last chapter, Ruth 4:16-17. Then Naomi took the child in her arms and cared for him. The women living there said, Naomi has a son, and they named him Obed. He was the father of Jesse, the father of David. In the first chapter of Matthew's Gospel, we read the genealogy of Jesus to discover that Ruth was in the lineage of Jesus. From this story of Ruth, we see a great parallel to the church, the family of God. Boaz, an Israelite, marries Ruth, a Gentile. In the fullness of time, God intends that Christians born in the Gentile nations will one day join with Israel, God's chosen people. I would like to tell you about another Ruth we once knew. Some years back, a Christian lady we knew worked for a large Christian shipping charity called Operation Mobilization. Ruth was part of the large team of volunteers working on one of their mercy ships called the Logos. The Logos would pull into harbour in one of the third world countries and offer medical help where modern medical equipment was not available. Ruth lived in a small cabin on the ship. One day, Ruth had a dream, first showing her the cabin where she lived, and then in the dream she was transported into the American countryside, finding herself living in a large palatial mansion. What a contrast to where she now lived. How could this be so? During that period, Ruth had built up a friendship with a couple of American Christians who financially supported the Christian shipping company. The wife of the couple in their later years of life fell ill. Ruth sought to help them during this period. Eventually, the wife died, leaving the husband a widower. Ruth and the widower kept in contact with one another. The friendship blossomed into a romantic relationship, eventually getting married. Chris and I were privileged to be invited to their reception. While we are here on earth, surrounded by evil, Jesus one day wants to take us, the church, as his bride, to live in the palatial mansions of heaven. I want to tell you how all this came about. I want to convey one more wonderful story of love and marriage, a story that is important for us all. We can all be part of this wonderful love story. There is a hymn which I am fond of, which gives us a taste of God's wonderful love for mankind. It reads, one day when heaven was filled with his praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt amongst men. My example is he. Living, he loved me. Dying, he saved me. Buried, he carried my sins far away. Rising, he's justified freely forever. And one day he's coming. Oh, glorious day. Ruth of the Bible was of the Moabite tribe, a Gentile, not part of the Israel nation, but Boaz, an Israelite, married her. She became part of Boaz's family and became part of the lineage of Jesus. Jesus, in his love for mankind, gave up his life as a ransom for us. If we have invited him into our lives, asked him to be Lord of our lives, in due time we will be joined with him in the air. And as the Bible tells us in another hymn, reads, God loved the world of sinners lost and ruined by the fall. Salvation full at highest cost he offers free to all. Oh, 'twas love, 'twas wondrous love, the love of God to me. It brought my Saviour from above to die on Calvary. In the New Testament, we read that those who are part of God's family, those who have invited Jesus as their Lord and Saviour, whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life, will one day either be called to meet the Lord in the air, or if we die, will go to heaven to be with Jesus. Soon, Jesus is going to collect all his church in the air, so together we will be invited to a great marriage supper. In a vision, we read what the Apostle John saw in heaven. He records in Revelations 19:6-9, "When I heard what was sound like a great multitude, like the roaring of rushing water, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, 'Hallelujah, for our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory, for the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear.'" Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of God's holy people. "Then the angel said to me, 'Write this, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb.' And he added, 'These are the true words of God.'" There is going to be a wedding in heaven. Will you be part of that great multitude, the wedding of the Lamb, his bride? Do you realize that we as God's children are also known as the bride of Christ? The time we spend here on earth is the courting period, the time of betrothal. It is our opportunity to spend as much time as possible with him through the Holy Spirit, getting to know him better in readiness to meet Jesus as our bridegroom when we get to heaven and meet him face to face. In closing, let us again turn to Song of Solomon. And as we read, I think of the warmth in the voice of the bride and realize this is a type of relationship we can have with Jesus, our bridegroom. We read in Song of Solomon 2, verse 16, "My beloved is mine, and I am his." Do you have that depth of affection to say the same? To know in your heart, you can say, "He is mine." We then read in Song of Solomon 10, verse 10, "I belong to my beloved, and his desire is for me." It is wonderful to know the desires of Jesus are always for us, to also know that Jesus has all your best interests at heart, and in that you know you are wholeheartedly his. The bridegroom then says in Song of Solomon 8, verse 13, "Let me hear your voice." Jesus, our bridegroom, is always longing to have conversation with us. Do you hear him say, "Let me hear your voice"? Then we read in Song of Solomon 5:16, "This is my beloved, this is my friend." As a young bride is proud of their beloved, do we have, as the bride of Christ, the same passionate love for Jesus? And do we have the pride in our hearts to say to all we meet, "This is my beloved, this is my friend"? See Austin Miles, the writer of the hymn, "I Came to the Garden Alone," was sitting at his desk meditating on the story of Mary when she visited the tomb of Jesus. We read how her sadness at the loss of Jesus dying was further enhanced when she discovered the stone covering the tomb was open and Jesus' body was missing. We read how Mary, being very perplexed, turned and saw a person who she thought was the gardener. We read in John 20:16-17. He asked, "Woman, why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" Thinking he was the gardener, she said, "Sir, if you'd carried me away, tell me where you put him and I will get him." Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned towards him and cried in Aramaic, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Austin Mills then put this hymn. Let us listen to the song. Thank you.
and the voice I hear falling on my ear, the Son of God discloses, and he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own. And the joy shared as we tarry there, none other has ever known.
He speaks and the sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing.
And the melody that he gave to me within my heart is me. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever.